We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to, excuse me. Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Good Monday morning. Nope, Monday lunch. Happy Monday, everybody. How about that? Let's check out some temperatures real quick around our listening area. 79 at Hollis. 80 at Goodwell. That's the hot spot in the state. 79 at Slap Out, 73 at Alva, 67 at Medford, 73 at Weatherford, 79 at Altus. And let's see what's happening out in the Texas Panhandle. 80 degrees at Lipscomb, 80 degrees at Wellington, and 79 degrees at Odell. First, before we get into some agriculture news, let's get into some ag sports. Congratulations to the Oklahoma State Cowgirls. They won 2 out of 3 softball games this weekend in Norman. And it's a first, I think, that they won the Bedlam series. They didn't get them all. They just got 2 out of 3. But I think that's the first time ever, maybe. That's according to my sports reporter down there in Sentinel, Oklahoma, Jimmy Rhodes. Anyway, congratulations, Em. Really good series. This upcoming softball playoffs and stuff ought to be pretty good. The Longhorns are looking pretty dominant, though, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, and then over here, West Elk City at Sayre National this weekend. A lot of farmers and ranchers and city slickers and agriculture business owners and bankers, they got together to play at the Bob. 2-day golf tournament over there at the National. It was a really good one. They had a rain delay. I honestly wouldn't have cared if the golf tournament had got rained out Saturday. I'll just be square with you. I wouldn't have mattered to me. But anyway, they got a rain delay, which is good. Saturday morning, I got a half inch at the house, and I needed it. When I was doing some, got my side road going, got the 10-inch line repaired, everything's good. But back to the golf tournament, there was some oil field people took on some farmers and ranchers over there Saturday, and they ended up losing some money. So anyway, Team Morse, and especially James A., you guys just couldn't keep it in the slot. Sorry, but anyway, thanks for paying your dad off. That was really sweet of you. Anyway, but here's the talk of the town. The gentleman that is the general manager and director at High Pros Feed at Cheyenne, he shows up. I guess he wanted to be a farmer. I don't know. So he put his hair in cornrows. So I had a good time with that. Oh, Jeremiah, you never cease to surprise me. So anyway, I did see Nathan Heffley, you know, him and his wife own the Wheeler General Store over there in Wheeler. Seen him there. He had both of his boys there. Tommy's always super cool with me. He comes up to me no matter whatever. But anyway, seen them. Glad you guys can come. And then there was also some people we got to play with, from some ranchers from up there at Lipscomb. And then we had some people from down there at Wellington that we played with here. Let me bring this picture up because I'm terrible with names. But anyway, Levi and Sherry Huntress from up Lipscomb, we got to play with them yesterday. And Russell Riley and Marcy Orr from Wellington down there. Anyway, caught me off guard when Marcy told me, my husband listens to you all the time. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Anyway, got to meet a lot of good people this weekend. Then, but Saturday night, we got I got another 1.4 inches, so I got 1.9. But I think everybody in Western Oklahoma has got rain now in the last week. Some people ain't got as much as they want. I understand that. Sorry. But anyway, I think everybody's getting some rain. And I know you've heard this a million times already today, but seriously, this afternoon, be alert. What's going on? They can miss these things 40 or 50 miles. The dry line might develop out here in the Texas Panhandle. And anyway, Lacey's been calling it for 3 or 4 days now that Monday does not look good no matter what the forecasters are saying. So anyway, just be weather. We'll Jaden's on duty today in the studio this afternoon for severe weather. So everybody just will stay tuned to 96.5 KECO. We'll keep you up to date on severe weather. And let's just hope that it doesn't get as bad as they think it's going to, but they sure are acting like it. All right, let's see first what happened overnight, because things have changed this morning. Wheat plunged in overnight trading on technical selling as investors who held bullish positions liquidated their positions, booked profits after a recent run-up in prices. Futures have been rising on concerns about dry weather in the U.S. Southern Plains, where little or no rain has fallen in the past 2 weeks. Striped dust and wheat has also been reported statewide in Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of winter varieties, according to the Kansas State University Wheat and Forage Extension Pathology Program. Several reports of the rust has come in over the last week, and you know, we got hammered with it here in Oklahoma. Mostly at a low or trace levels due to drought conditions, the group said on a social media report. Fields still within the window for a fungicide application should be scouted, they're saying up there. Still, drought conditions eased in the week through April 30th, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. About 56% of Kansas was suffering from drought conditions at the end of the month, down from 65% a week earlier. That's still up from 38% that was seen drought 3 months ago. In Russia, dry weather has curbed prospects for wheat. The country's wheat crop was downgraded by the whatever their agency's called to 91 million metric tons. Previous outlook was 93 million tons. The USDA pegged Russia last month production at 91.5 million metric tons, unchanged month to month, but down slightly from the 91 million tons that was collected a year earlier. Soybeans were modestly lower overnight despite deadly floods that swept through parts of Brazil, damaging fields and leaving the size of the country's crop in question. Floods in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, a major producer of soybeans, killed around 75 people and injured at least 100, according to local media reports. Citing local government officials, almost 90,000 people had to be evacuated from their homes. As much as a foot of rain fell in the week through Thursday, according to the Brazilian weather people. Some fields are still underwater as equipment and structures. The USDA last month said it expects soybean production in Brazil at 155 million metric tons this year. Analysts have expected the agency to lower its forecast amid the adverse weather conditions in the South American country. However, CONAB, I guess that's their USDA, however, lowered its forecast last month to 146.5 million. About 40% of the soybeans in the center and south of Rio Grande do Sul are still in the fields. Wheat futures for July delivery fell 9 cents to $6.13.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures dropped 16.5 cents to $6.33.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery lost 3.25 to $12.11.75 a bushel. Soy meal was down to $1.70 to $3.70.50 a short ton. And soy oil gained 0.38 cents to 43.46 cents a pound. Corn futures fell 1.75 to $4.58.5 a bushel. Money managers cut their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn to the lowest level since the beginning of the year, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held 213,000 contracts in corn in the 7 days it ended on April 30th. That's down from 225,000 the week prior to that. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short position of 29,000 contracts in hard red winter wheat. That's down from 47,000 contracts a week earlier. Investors also reduced their net shorts in soft red winter wheat to 49,629 futures contracts. That's down from 75,542 a week earlier. Let's see here, but I think things have changed a little bit this morning. We'll go over that here in our next segment. Red flag warnings have been issued for parts of the Southern Plains, while strong winds are forecast for the Dakotas, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle will be sustained from 20 to 30 with wind gusts up to 45. Humidity will fall as low as 7%. So I did look up there a while ago, and Cimarron in Texas County, you are under a red flag warning as of right now. Let's, matter of fact, let's just check, see what the humidity, the winds are doing up there. Yes, winds in, actually in all the panhandle right now are anywhere from 27 to 33 sustained with gusts up to 42 and 45 miles an hour already up there in the Texas Panhandle. So be weather alert up there also. Fire weather, that is. So, and we've got that going on. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. And when we come back, I'll have your Lipscomb's Dealership's Ag Market update, because the market has changed quite a bit this morning since overnight. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance, is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April the 19th. 1,498 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 478 brought 325. 4 at 494 brought 332. 11 at 581 brought 309. 7 at 608 brought 290. 9 at 611 brought 270. 4 at 738 brought 247.50. 9 head of heifers at 421 brought 295. 6 at 530 brought 282. 7 at 534 brought 265. 8 at 635 brought 241. 30 at 789 brought 216.50. 8 at 870 brought 208. 7 at 916 brought 209. Butcher cows were 85 to 142.50. Butcher bulls brought 92 to 161. Bred cows were 1,035 to 3,025. Pairs brought 1,025 to 2,500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6097.
What's better than a new Hustler zero-turn mower? A new Hustler zero-turn mower with up to $300 off. DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is helping cut your grass and your cost. Purchase a new in-stock Hustler mower and get up to $300 off. What a grass-cutting, money-saving deal. This offer is only good till May 18th, so you better hustle. That's at DJ's Rentals and Sales at 911 South Main Street in Elk City. Or call them at 580-225-1400.
NH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Crossbrand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH and they'll get you all fixed up.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Wellington, Texas. Here's your ag weather update for out there in the Texas Panhandle. Currently it's 80 degrees, heat index at 82, relative humidity 61%, dew point 66, winds are out of the southwest at 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 23. Peak wind gusts so far today, 31 miles an hour so far this month to date. Precipitation, 62/100ths of an inch. 8-inch soil temperature, 68 degrees. There you have it. All right, let's do the Lipscomb's dealership ag market update. See what the market looks like now. Corn for May, 456, up 9. July, 467, up 7 and a quarter. Soybean for May, 1229, up 27 and a quarter. July, 1242, up 27 and a half. Soybean meal for May, 377.90, up 11 and a quarter. July, 383.10, up 10.90. Soybean oil, May, 43.12, up 70. July, 43.97, up 89. Check this out. It's been a long time since I've seen that digit there. May futures on hard red winter wheat, 701, up 41. July, 674, up 23.5. There you go. Not too shabby. All right. Cotton, May, 77.36, up 244. July, 77.06, down 1. And oil, West Texas, June, 78.40, up 29 cents. And natural gas, June, 224, up 10. Live cattle for July, for June is 176.57. Down 10. August, 174.15, down 42. Feeder cattle for May, 241.25, down 205. August, 252.50, down 225. September, 253.57, down 220. Lean hogs for May, 91.95, down 47. June, 98, down 95. And July is 102.12, down 72. Looks like the Dow and the NASDAQ and S&P having another good day. They had a really good day Sunday. Hey, speaking of cattle, let's check this out since I got it kind of early. Friday, there we go. Here's what happened at the Elk City Livestock Auction Barn Friday. Steers, look how many head did they have here. 1,305 head were sold through the sale barn. We had, looks like, 3 to 4 weight steers. We're bringing up to 410. 4 to 5 weight steers. I'm sorry, I'm breezing through this. Top end was 334. Nope, we got some 340s in there. Anyway, it looks like it was anywhere from 320 to 340. 5 to 6 weights up to 317. 6 to 7 weights up to 296. 7 weights to 8s, we're bringing 250 and 227.50 for 8 weight steers. Over here where the girls are, looks like 3 to 4 weights we're bringing up to 328. 4 weights we're bringing up to 312. 5 weights we're bringing up to, what's top in here, 286. 6 weights we're bringing up to 247. And there's some 235 per 100 weights for some 7 weights. 9 weights, buck 82. And Elk City had 3 in there weighing 1,017. Brought a 188 per 100 weight. Bred cows up to 2,300. Pairs up to 2,800. Slaughter cows up to $1.45. Slaughter bulls up to $1.65. So anyway, pretty good sale at the Elk City Sale Barn here last Friday. So anyway, let's see what we got here. Since we're talking about cattle, May is beef month. And while some of the people who are paid through our cow tax dollars were at the state capitals getting pictures taken with the governors, the real cowboys were busy keeping the industry going. Only this week, there were some new challenges to work around that shed some light on some policies that aren't that are supported by groups that claim to represent us. Dairy restrictions and traceability. As I'm sure all you are aware, dairy breeds have travel restrictions. At 2 sales I was at this week, there were some dairy cows that sold. The auctioneer took a moment to review the new rules. A few times, I might add, some buyers made the decision not even to mess with it with all and didn't even bid. All these restrictions do is make life hard for those of us that live and do businesses on state lines. If you look at a 10-year cattle market chart, you will see the hard dip in the year of 2020. That is a government-made market crash due to not letting the packer run anywhere near capacity. And here we are going through it again, only this time it's over ear tags. It was also brought to my attention this week that the environmental groups have spoken out against production, cattle production, are in support of traceability. Why would they care about this? As a reminder, I have never accepted sponsorship from any of them to put on a marketing school. Not all of us teaching these schools can make that claim. Female markets this week followed the same trend as last week. And for reference, what I'm about to write is my observation of sales in Nebraska and Kansas. All females sold over this IV, which is that value, unless they were in the thin condition. Once a price was established for heifers, there was a slight increase in value for 3- and 4-year-olds. 5-year-olds took a $400 depreciation hit. Then the price held steady until the cows were called a short solid, where she took another $200 price drop. And then there was one more price drop when she was called a broken mouth. What I just described was a bell curve. The bell curve is a great visual aid that will tell us if we need a closer look and examine some relationships. It's not a trading tool, or it's not a method. Here's the problem on deflecting appreciation. Some people think that when the curve drops off, they need to sell off mature cows to deflect depreciation. The flaw is that they are letting dates, age of the female, determine when to sell and not relationships. I've repeatedly pointed out how they're doing turnover all wrong by selling more value into the market than they are getting paid for. Thus, they are not even managing to chase gross margin properly. Here's what paying attention to relationships could do. It was possible to sell this short solid pair and buy fall bred calf heifers. This trade sells values into the market, and the producer gets paid more for the value than what it's worth. The feeder market has a high value of gain, the VOG, on flyweight cattle that seemed to taper off as they got heavier. It wasn't uncommon to see the VOG drop below the cost of gain on the bigger feeders. while this makes things a bit tight for the stocker operations, it's a good thing for the feed yards. The heavier feeder heifers are a great buyback against fats right now. People are now referring to females as endangered species. I've never written about this before, and even though I do cover it in my schools, and that is doing it cow to stocker trade. I will say right up front that these trades are kind of tricky. The thing is, when we examine all four values with these trades work right now, something to keep in mind is that the stockers will eat less due to their smaller size. So there may be a need to virgin buy some. If we've sold a really overvalued breeding animal, the trade will have enough cash to cover the virgin buy. However, there won't be enough cash to pay expenses out of pocket through the summer. And my last point on that is, if you've always been a cow-calf producer and never bought stockers before, there will be a steep learning curve on health, herd immunity, and stockmanship. Last thing here on breeding cattle, I'm surprised I haven't gotten any blowback from writing about marketing females in an aggressive manner. In my schools, people do have a concern that when buying other people's cows, we are buying other people's problems. I've bought everything from wet bag cows that lost a calf to cows that are closed up. My breed back percentage has always been higher than the people running closed herds. In full disclosure, I run more bull power than I really need. I've also had very little calving problems. Most of them will not have very many birthdays if they can't get the job done. This is why the 3 or 4 year olds are seeing such a strong demand. They're checked the two boxes that matter. They can calve and they can breed back. The only real issue is I have is disposition. We all claim to be an outstanding stockman, so it shouldn't be an issue. Out of all the mean cows I've bought, only 4 didn't settle in. These are the opinions of Doug Ferguson, and not necessarily that of the Beef Producer or the Beef Manager magazine or Farm Progress. Anyway, looks like he tells it how like it is. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. And when I come back, we'll have more news going around our Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyard. Folks, we are seeing cattle bring top prices right here home. We're competitive with Oklahoma City. We have proven on several occasions with the trust of local bigger cattle producers, top prices, less work, travel time, and greater returns on their cattle right here home. We have great working relationships with private independent buyers to guarantee you top prices for your cattle. We have the cleanest and best facilities to handle your cattle. Fresh water and quality hay out at all times. We do not receive chronically sick, injured, or trailer cattle. We only sell the best at Hobart Stockyard.
Hobart Stockyards at 580-726-3306.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317, or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. And that means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. That Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break. Slap out Oklahoma. Here's your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. Currently it's 83, dew point 60, humidity's 46. The winds are out of the southwest. 26 miles an hour, gusting up to 36. 34 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 68 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset, 8:34. Slight chance of thunderstorms today, 20% chance, 85 for a high. Looks like you're going to get her. The temperature, get there, is what I meant, not the rain. No, I hope you do, though. Anyway, clear, 50 degrees tonight. Winds will be out of the west, 10 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up 30 tomorrow. Basically the same thing, 85 west to southwest winds, 12 to 22 miles an hour. On the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have the time or the desire to travel to the Capitol and attend legislative sessions, but we still know that what happens there can drastically affect our operations. That's why we need an organization like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then OCA is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen, for cattlemen. For more information, go to www.okcattlemen.org. There you go. Speaking of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, I bet some of you guys haven't seen this, but I want to fill you in on it a little bit. Here's something for you to do this summer between now and August. Once, twice, three times, however you want to do. Travel the Oklahoma Onion Burger Trail. How about that? Eat authentic Oklahoma onion burgers and win some prizes. The Oklahoma Beef Council invites you to celebrate the Oklahoma Onion Burger, a unique burger that combines the flavor of beef and caramelized onions. The Oklahoma Onion Burger Trail features 22 restaurants that offer delicious, authentic Oklahoma onion burgers. You can sign up for a digital pass. Really simple to do. That you can access from your mobile phone, or you can download a paper pass to keep track of your visits. All you got to do is go to oklabeef.org/burger trail. Okla, OKLABEEF, oklabeef.org/burger trail and sign up. I'm going to do that today. Matter of fact, everyone who uses the paper or digital pass and visits at least one restaurant will be entered to win a $500 beef gift certificate Anyone using the digital pass will have the opportunity to redeem their points for I Conquered the Oklahoma Onion Burger Trail t-shirt, 1,000 points, or an Oklahoma Onion Burger Trail backpack, 600 points, or a beef, it's what's for dinner ball cap, 300 points. We are excited to celebrate this unique experience that is the Oklahoma Onion Burger with this fun promotion, said Heather Buckmaster, OBC Executive Director. We encourage our fellow Oklahomans to join us on the Oklahoma Onion Burger Trail, support the Oklahoma Onion restaurants, and enjoy delicious burgers. Okay, let's check out some of these restaurants that are on the trail real quick before we get back to ag news. Bunny's Onion Burgers, Enid Brewing Company and Eatery, Hank's Hamburgers, J&W's Grill, Johnny's Hamburger, and Coney's Lookout Kitchen, all six locations of those, Nick's Grill, Nick's Place, Robert's Grill, Sid's Diner in El Reno. I know you guys, some of you guys have ate there. Sun Cattle Company and Tucker's Onion Burgers, all five locations. Monty Tucker, I didn't know you guys had a restaurant chain. It says five locations. So anyway, check it out, man. Oklahoma/ Onion Burgers. Check it out. That'd be fun to go do. So there you have it. All right, let's check up on some cotton news. You want to? First of all, let's just start at the top of the Cotton Council's, National Cotton Council's email here. Farm Bill Framework's released. I'll get to that here in a minute. In the last segment, I got some going on with that. And then Representatives Tracy Mann and Jim Costa, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, along with Senator Jerry Morgan from Kansas, led a letter consigned by 70 of their congressional colleagues opposing the recent decision by the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service to discontinue the Cotton Objective Yield Survey, all county estimates for crops and livestock, and the July cattle report. But we can send some more money overseas, and we can do some more climate, I'll just shut up there. Anyway, the letter points out that the loss of Cotton Objective Yield Survey may reduce the ability of industrial participants, both buyers and sellers, to engage in forward contracting until later in the season. Losing the county estimates for crops and livestock, the letter states, prevents a full accounting of the damage caused by droughts, fires, and other hazards. So that was one thing on the deal this minute. And then it says here that the Department of Labor has announced a final rule making numerous changes to the H-2A policy. Among many other provisions, the rule raises adverse effect wages rates, limits the number of conditions it could warrant for cause termination, and expands the range of ag labor activities covered by anti-retaliation provisions of the National Labor Relations Act. What else is in here? Not a whole lot going on here that you guys would probably care about. But let's just go right here, check out what happened with the export sales. Net export sales for the week ending April 25th was 105,100 bales. This brings the total 23-24 sales to total approximately 12 million bales of cotton. Total sales at the same point in the 22-23 marketing year were approximately 12.9 million bales. Total new crop for 24-25 sales are already at 1.3 million bales. Shipments for the week were 190,000 bales, bringing total exports to date to 8.6 million bales, compared with 8.7 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. There is your cotton update. All right, let's go ahead instead of starting now, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When we come back, I'll have your Hober Farm and Garden ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
May the 7th, XIT Auctions is selling 160 acres of good Ouachita County grassland, including revised wind turbine production of approximately $6,536 a year. 4 miles east of Rocky, Oklahoma, to Road 2240, then a quarter mile north. For information on this auction, or to talk about your auction, call auctioneer Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. Or see all the details at xitauctions.com.
XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hope of Farm and Garden. Long, not long. Ag weather update. I picked a big city, Eric. I hadn't been over to Eric in a while with the weather. So 81 degrees, feels 82, dew point 65, humidity's 58. The winds are out of the south at 23 with gusts up to 33. 10-day rain total, half inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 67 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 8:29. 30% chance of severe thunderstorms today, 85 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 52 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 83 with north to south winds. It's going to be one direction coming out of the other. Anyway, 10 to 20 miles an hour either way. Doesn't matter. Anyway, just, all right, I'm going to say it one more time, and I'll shut up. Please pay attention to the weather today, especially the eastern Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma. They keep saying it's going to develop right here on the Custer County, Beckham County line right over here, East Elk, about 3 miles. But I keep seeing everybody, all the weather, especially the Mesonet, keep saying, don't pay no attention to them colors. Why put it out there? So anyway, just be weather alert. It doesn't matter if you're in Slapout, Hollis, or Eric. Pay attention to the weather. One last time. All right. Let's see here. I had one other thing. Oh, Senate Farm Bill proposal not as good as the House proposal, according to Paul Neffner. Paul is one of the big dogs in agriculture accounting, and he knows numbers, so let's just see what he's got to say. In this post, we will review some of the key details in the proposal and also review where the House proposal may differ. Currently, we believe the House proposal is more of a value to production ag, but the Senate proposal does have some extras, but not to the extent of the House bill. There's a lot of details in the summary that we will provide in an additional post. Thank you. Anyway, today's post primarily deals with the ARC, PLC, AGI, and payment limits. Effective reference prices will increase to reflect the recent high prices. However, no details are provided on the amount of increase other than seed cotton, rice, and peanuts will see an automatic 5% increase. The summary indicates most commodities will see a 10 to 15% increase. However, no details on how it's going to be operating, no fine print, in other words. The House bill also increases the effective reference price, but further details are needed. Limited opportunity for underserved producers to establish new base acres if recent plantings exceed current base acres. The House will allow all producers to establish new base acres. How's that? Payment yields will be established for new base acres, likely at 90% of recent yields. Could be Olympic average yields or some other average. It appears that if the land is owned by someone whose AGI is greater than 700,000, then no ARC PLC payment is allowed on this land. This is to discourage investors from purchasing land. However, it appears this would simply penalize the farmer who is farming that ground. Further clarity is needed on this, since the wording is pretty vague at best on the summary. The 700,000 AGI limit is then applied to most farm programs. However, the limit is increased to 1.5 million for specialty and high value crop producers. This appears to be a penalty on most farm producers in the country and a reward to specialty and high value producers. The proposal closes a loophole that allows some farmer to avoid average AGI requirements. Will this proposal be similar to the Farm Program Integrity Act of 23 that Senator Grassley and Brown introduced last year? If this is a part of that proposal, then all general partnerships will essentially now be treated as an entity, and only two payment limits will be allowed if the general partnership has four active farmers. However, the actual proposal may be different, but something similar to this in the proposal. The House leaves the AGI limits at 900,000 and no further restrictions on payment limits, and actually increases them and indexes them to inflation. The House increases the ARC CO guarantee to 90% from the current 86. The Senate proposal only increases it to 88%. On PLC, will now have the maximum equal payment equal to 20% of the effective reference price. As an example, assume the corn price is $4. The maximum payment will be 80 cents times their PLC yield. This appears to penalize certain crop producers such as rice, cotton, peanuts, and wheat, who have seen prices drop below the loan rate in the past or greater than its 20% limit. Under the PLC rules, the payment limit is the difference between the effective reference price and the loan rate. And in many cases, this is much higher than 20% of the effective price as the chart shows. However, in some cases, it may not matter if they are bumping up against the payment limit anyway. The house does not limit the PLC payment. Let's see here. What else is it? We're almost done here. There we go. Loan rates may increase based upon the five-year average cost of production. However, this is capped at 110% of current loan rates. Does this have much value when inputs have increased more than 10% in a year, and this is a five-year average? The lag would drastically minimize the effect of inflation farmers have faced over the past 3 years. Enhancements to the dairy margin coverage includes increasing the quality quantity of milk for tier one coverage by 20% to 6 million pounds. If authorized, the permanent standing disaster program, this appears to mean that we will have ERP for the next 5 years or something similar. I'll keep up for that with you guys. A lot of differences between the two farm bills there, so you know they're not going to come to a agreement before too long. We've talked about, I erased it. Hang on, let me find this. Sorry. I erased it. Where is it at? There it is. Open it up, please. There you go. I hit the X, not to minimize. We've talked about mental health on our show here quite a few times before. You guys need to go see Google a movie put on by the Colorado Department of Agriculture and Colorado Agribility. Anyway, it's called Legacy. It's a film from those two people there. Basically, the Colorado Farm Bureau also shares the mental health struggles of farmers and ranchers in the state and offers hopes for healing. I watched this last night. It's about 45 minutes. It's pretty moving to watch the film. It's called Legacy. Just Google it, and I think you'll get on YouTube. Maybe it'll come up on YouTube. But anyway, mental health in rural areas is a lot more there than you guys realize. And I seen some of this during the last wildfires over in the Texas Panhandle and parts of Oklahoma there, western Oklahoma there. And I've said this a couple times. We've been to a lot of fires. I've seen a different look in some of those ranchers and their wives' faces this time. So anyway, you get a chance to watch that. Watch it. Legacy. It's called Legacy. And it's pretty moving deal. So if you guys know anybody or you're listening and you think it, thinking something different, 988. The number you can call in Texas and Oklahoma. And anyway, it's a film with purpose, and it's they use this film to, from my understanding, to help train counselors for a voucher program in Colorado where they get involved with agriculture, and their families can receive like 6 free counseling sessions in Colorado on this deal. So it's pretty moving. I've been seeing a lot about agriculture, especially farmer and ranchers mental health here lately, so it should tell us all something. You know, here I stress out about it's going to cost me $1,000 to water my ground before we can plant peanuts coming up, and I'm stressing about it, trying to get irrigation going and all this stuff, and then it rains. I feel so much better. I can imagine what's going on with people's got some serious problems. So anyway, it's more than you think. So anyway, take a look at that film. It's pretty moving. So all right, let's move on to, guess what? The bird flu. Anyway, Texas farm worker, the only person known to contract bird flu from cattle. at least 200 people have been monitored for possible exposure to the bird flu virus, and 30 people have been tested. But that Texas worker at that dairy in Texas is the only person known to contract the disease from cattle, according to the CDC. And you know, them guys are on their game. They know everything. No additional human cases have been detected since bird flu was discovered for the first time in cattle 6 weeks ago. Now they're saying it was probably in there 2 or 3 months ago. The agency said it was working with medical firms for the creation of these bird flu tests, and they will be widely available to consumers. Anyway, they keep talking this deal about that one worker, and it's like he was maybe not trying, but he might have infected his fellow workers, and they never say anything. And I got a firsthand report that this worker drank raw milk from the cow. So I don't know if CDC doesn't think that's good enough for them or whatever. So anyway, you guys have a great day. I hope you enjoyed this Oklahoma Cattlemen Association Day. See you tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sayre, Oklahoma.